I used to work at Starbucks. I hated it, but I didn't really have a choice. I needed a job, and they were the only place that would hire me. It might not have been that bad, but I always worked the morning shift. I wasn't a morning person at all, so it was always hard to be at work before 5 a.m. every day. I was usually half asleep for the first couple of hours that I was there. It didn't matter how much sleep I had gotten the night before. I just couldn't be fully awake at that time. The managers would get on me sometimes, but I was normally still able to work while half asleep, so they didn't care that much. But one morning it was especially bad. I was at work again, and I could barely keep my eyes open. I was practically sleeping on my feet and about to pass out. It was around 5 a.m. It was totally dead that day. It was a little strange, because we normally had a lot of customers that early, but that day there was no one. It just made it even harder to stay awake though. I was the one taking orders, so I had nothing to do. Just as I was about to completely fall asleep, a car pulled into the drive-thru. I jumped awake and greeted them.
Welcome to Starbucks. What can I get for you?
I started getting this really weird order. Some guy asked for a Grimace shake. He was obviously just joking around, but I wasn't really in the mood. I annoyedly told him that we didn't serve Grimace shakes and asked him what he actually wanted, but he just kept pushing the joke and annoying me even more. I'll have a McFlurry. I snapped at him a little and told him that he wasn't at McDonald's. He acted all surprised and said that he needed a second. By that point, I was done with the whole situation. The last thing I needed was some guy messing around while I was still half asleep. Finally, he said he was ready. But then he ordered a Slurpee. I totally lost it. I started yelling and cussing at him.
This isn't 7-Eleven. Either order something real or get the hell out of here.
I knew I shouldn't have lost my temper like that, but the guy needed to learn. He was completely wasting my time. Then out of nowhere, the man pulled up to the window and started banging on it. Half of his body was literally hanging out of his car. The guy had to be insane, and he had the most disturbing, scariest face. He looked like a criminal or something. I was terrified. He kept banging on the window and motioning for me to open it. I was so scared. I didn't want to open the window. I didn't know what he would do. He kept taunting me through the window.
Open, Cindy.
He kept saying that over and over again. It was so creepy. I was petrified. I just wanted him to leave, but he kept repeating that one phrase and motioning for me to open the window.
Open, Cindy.
I was extremely hesitant, but I figured that it was the only way to get him to leave. I slowly opened the window. The man demanded that I give him coffee. I asked him for the details of his order, and he finally gave them without acting like an annoying jerk like before. Now he was being almost nice. I still felt scared though. I gave the man his total and then realized that it meant I would have to reach my hand out of the window. I gulped and grabbed the card reader with a stick and extended it out the window for the man to pay. The man said that he wanted to use cash because he had enough change. He held his fist out the window towards me and looked at me expectantly. I retreated the card reader back through the window. I was scared shitless because now I was forced to get close to him. I felt incredibly nervous. The guy felt so off. I was scared that he would snap again. The man asked me what I was doing.
Are you going to take my money?
I didn't know what else to do. It was the only way to get rid of him. I cautiously extended my hand under his to collect the money, being super careful not to touch the creep in the process. He moved his hand down to drop the coins, and I felt a wave of relief that he was going to pay after all. Then he suddenly grabbed my arm. He started pulling on me and yanked me so hard I almost completely fell out of the window. I'd never been more scared in my life. I was hanging halfway out of the window, barely hanging on with my other hand, while the psychopath tried to pull me into his car. He glared at me the whole time with the same terrifying face from before. For a second, I thought it was over. He was going to pull me into his car and take me away, but I pulled one last time with all the strength I had left, and somehow I managed to break free. I tumbled back through the window and screamed for help.
Ah! Help me! He's insane! Help!
The man's car sped out of the drive-thru and disappeared as I kept screaming. I called the cops and they immediately came over to investigate. I showed them the footage as proof of what had happened. The man still hasn't been found. I'm still terrified that I'll run into him again. I ended up quitting Starbucks. I couldn't go on living in fear that he would come back there. What scares me most is that there have been several reports of missing women in town. There are rumors that they're being trafficked. I think I was almost one of them.
This story was inspired by a disturbing surveillance video of a man who attempted to kidnap a barista by pulling her through a drive-thru window. Washington police shared a video of the botched abduction online, which occurred at a coffee shop after 5 a.m. on a Monday. The attacker, who hasn't been publicly identified, is seen pulling up to the drive-thru window in a dark-colored Chevy Silverado to pay for his order. When the barista extends her arm out of the store window to give the driver cash, the man grabs the employee's wrists and yanks her forward. She is able to wiggle free from his grasp, but not before the man attempts to secure her wrists with what police called a looped zip-tie device. When the barista closes the drive-thru window, the assailant taps on the glass before he speeds off. Police said they are still searching for the suspect.
My life was pretty simple. My wife and daughter were the reason I did everything. I worked 50 or 60 hours every week to support them. We had our ways of spending time together as a family. One of our more recent pastimes was going to Starbucks on Sunday mornings. One day, on our way there, it started to snow. It was really light snowfall, but it was more than enough to wow my little girl. Of course, we didn't want to sit inside and keep her away from the snow. And since we had gone out prepared for the cold, we decided to sit outside. Unfortunately, though we had no way of knowing it, there was a shady man sitting outside, hiding his face under a hoodie, and vaping obnoxiously loud clouds of smoke all over the seating area. Nobody else was sitting outside because of him. I noticed him staring at my family as we claimed a table on the other side of the patio from him and took a seat. I even watched him take a huge puff of his vape and blow it into our direction, as if he was trying to get us to leave. We didn't want to let some random loser ruin our day, so I told my wife to ignore him as I went inside to get our usual order. I remember thinking of what I would say to the guy if he tried to make more trouble. When I came outside about 5 minutes later, there was a noticeable fog. At first, I thought the weather was getting worse, but once I got some up my nose and smelled it, I realized that it was that creepy jerk's fault. He blew a thick vape cloud over the entire patio. I was in disbelief at how petty he was. However, I sat down with my family and did my best to ignore him. I gave my wife and daughter their drinks and started eating the pastry, but when I offered them pieces of it, they didn't want any. They weren't having any of their drinks either. They both took one sip and scrunched up their noses. When I took a sip, I realized why. I tried to taste my coffee, but with that vape fog in the air, all I could taste was nasty strawberry banana punch or whatever he was huffing. I gave the creep some dirty looks, hoping that he would get the message that I was a man who didn't want his family messed with, but it didn't do anything. Every time I made an attempt to open a conversation with my wife, it would end with her coughing from all the crap that was in the air. The vapor didn't bother me too much, but it was definitely irritating my wife and daughter, and they were coughing so bad that they could barely get a breath in. All the while, that entitled jerk just kept blowing cloud after cloud in our direction. I kept waiting for him to pass out, but finally, I decided enough was enough. Just because that guy was outside and was allowed to vape didn't mean that he had the right to cause harm to my little girl. I told my family I would take care of it. Then I calmly stood up and walked over to face him. I did my best to come off as a reasonable, respectful neighbor. Little did I know, it would mean nothing to him.
Excuse me, sir? Would you mind doing that somewhere else? Just around the corner would be great.
And why should I do that?
Because I'm asking you to. Please, my daughter's very young and my wife has a sore throat.
I guess I'll just ask you to leave me alone before you piss me off.
Excuse me? What's your problem?
I thought I made it clear that you're my problem.
Nothing's clear when you keep blowing smoke in my face. Come on, I'm not asking for much. Just walk 10 feet that way.
Hey, are you threatening me? Don't shout at me unless you want a problem.
No, I'm not threatening you. I'm just trying to talk to you.
Good. Because your wife keeps looking at me like she wants to talk to me too.
What did you just say?
I said, I think your wife wants me to teach her how to French inhale. It's all in the tongue work, baby. I'll show you how.
It didn't even take a minute for that punk to get under my skin. I hadn't been that angry in years. I don't know what came over me, but I wasn't about to let somebody who vapes disrespect my family. I didn't care if I looked like a Karen or a crazy person. I wanted to give that piece of crap a piece of my mind.
Don't you dare talk to my wife like that, you bottom-feeding scumbag!
However, screaming at him would prove to be the biggest mistake of my life. In response, all he did was smile. He smiled and pulled back his coat, revealing a dagger at his waist.
I was just waiting for permission.
A moment later, that psycho lunged at me with the knife. I jumped back and grabbed his arm to keep him from swinging at me, but that freak was relentless. He forced the knife closer and closer to my throat, and I had to use every ounce of my strength to keep him at bay. I knew my family was in danger, and without hesitation, I was ready to lay my life on the line for them.
Get out of here, both of you! Take our baby and run! Please, just go!
Thankfully, my wife listened to me and carried our daughter to safety. As the creep watched them leave, I took my only opportunity to break free and run in the other direction. That psycho was right on my tail, but I knew I had to do whatever it took to get away from him. I ducked around the corner to try and trip him up, but right then, I slipped on a patch of black ice. I spun around the ground just fast enough to see him running towards me.
This story was inspired by a disturbing confrontation on the patio of a busy downtown Starbucks. It all started when the victim asked the suspect to not vape near his toddler and fiancé. Unfortunately for the victim, the suspect was armed with a knife and took matters into his own hands. A police officer on patrol was flagged down near the cafe and arrested the suspect inside the Starbucks. The scene was captured on video and has gone viral on Instagram and Twitter. The suspect has since been charged and sentenced accordingly. I've been working at Starbucks for a few years, but last week I transferred to a different location. One of the old employees went missing and hadn't been seen in a while. The first day I went to the new store, I saw the missing persons poster of the girl plastered on the front door. She was wearing her Starbucks apron in the photo. Suddenly, I was having second thoughts about the position all over again. I knew I was replacing someone who had gone missing, and by then it was very unlikely she would ever be seen alive again. The worst part was, she looked a lot like me. I'm not the only one who thought so either. When I walked inside, all of the baristas in the front did a double take. They stopped what they were doing and stared at me for a few seconds. Just by the looks on their faces, I knew they thought the missing woman had returned for a moment, only to be disappointed that I was just her replacement. As much as we all thought it was weird, they appreciated being back up to full staff again. Over the course of the week, I worked from noon to close, Monday through Friday. On Friday night, business had been slow all day. The boss kept letting the other baristas go home early until it was just me and him in the store. Then, to my surprise, my boss said he was leaving and that he trusted me to close the store on my own.
I'm heading out for the night. You can take care of things around here, right?
Yeah, I got this.
Awesome. There's a spare key in my office. Just don't go snooping around.
Of course. Have a good night.
Good night.
I better get overtime for this. Huh? Hello? Is anyone there? We're closed. Damn it. Did I forget to lock the door or something? What the hell was that? No, it can't be. Hello? Is anyone there? Please, let me help you!
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
Just hang on! I'm coming down! Hold on!
Please hurry! He'll be here any minute!
Who are you talking about?
Just come down here!
Okay! I'm on my way!
I'm in here!
It's you! What happened?
There's no time to explain. You have to get me down from here.
Okay, I'll try. I can't. It's padlocked.
What do you mean you can't? You have to. Just figure it out.
Get off of me. I'm just trying to help.
I want to be sorry, but I can't. I've been here for weeks. Now hurry before it's too late.
Too late for what?
No. It's too late. You have to hide.
Well, where?
Somewhere. Just get out of here.
I'm back! How's my new favorite employee?
Oh god!
Hello? You haven't been snooping around, have you? Well, I must say, I'm disappointed in you for doing the exact opposite of what I told you! Who opened the door, huh? Was it you? No, it couldn't have been you. Who's been helping you get out of your restraints? Care to tell me?
Get away from me, you psycho! Just let me go or kill me already!
I'll grant your wish, if you tell me where she's hiding.
Shut up! I'm not telling you anything!
You know, I have plenty of ways of making you talk. Or maybe I'll make sure you never talk again.
No, please, not that! Anything but that!
Shut up! You chose this! Hey, get back here!
Don't touch me!
You psychotic scumbag.
It's Monday now. 3 days after what happened. I'll never go back to that place. I quit Starbucks altogether. I won't be able to get the image of that woman out of my head whenever I see the Starbucks logo for as long as I live. I haven't told anyone about what I saw. I know it was real, but even then, I keep trying to convince myself that it was all a nightmare. I don't know what I should do. If I should tell the police, or if I should go back there and use the keys I stole to free that poor woman myself, if she's even still alive. Maybe I won't do anything. For some reason, that feels like the safest option. In my gut, I know that if I try to do anything, I'm bound to end up just like her.